Welcome to the sixth and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, The One Another's. God never intended us to do life alone. Our relationship with God requires being part of community with one another. Today's sermon title, Submit to One Another. Open your Bible to Romans 12, verse 16, and let's begin.
Flannery O'Connor was a Southern author. And if you like stories that end well, don't read her stories. Flannery was a remarkable woman, but she never wrote a story that ended well. She had a Southern pessimism about life. She wrote a story about a family that the father had done real well and paid off the family farm and was successful in some other businesses, but he died unusually young. And the wife turned out to be a remarkable businesswoman, and she made everything thrive after her husband's death. And she did so well that she sent her oldest daughter to college, and she became an elementary school principal at the local elementary school. Her son was a different case. He turned out to be the kind of young man who couldn't appreciate anything. His mother had given him the best of the best, and he didn't appreciate it. She sent him to college, and he didn't have to work his way through, and he didn't appreciate it. In fact, there was something so broken in this young man that he never missed a chance to be insulting to his mother. He talked down to her. He was arrogant and sarcastic. And he had this dream that he was a great author, and so that he couldn't be a great author in Georgia or Alabama, wherever they were from, and so he had to move to New York City. So the young man moved to New York City, got a tiny little apartment in an absolutely terrible neighborhood, worked under demanding job, and lived in this fantasy that he was a suffering artist. You know, he was really a great artist, and he was just suffering for his craft. And in fact, he was terrible. He had it in his head that he was Ernest Hemingway, and he couldn't write a decent letter. Well, one day he got sick, and he was pretty sick, and he convinced himself that he was dying. In fact, he got so sick he couldn't work, and because he couldn't work, he couldn't keep his crummy little apartment, and he had to get on the train and go home. And because he thought he was dying, he took a notebook and wrote his mom a notebook-long letter telling her what a loser she was and how foolish she was and how much she ruined his life. And he wrote on the front of it, "Do not read until I am dead." Well, he gets home and his mom was a problem-solving kind of woman. And so instead of just admitting that he was dying, she got the local doctor and brought the local doctor to the house. Well, the young man was insulting to the doctor and told him he couldn't cure anything, that he was, if he was any kind of doctor, he wouldn't be in a little country town like this. Well, the doctor just ignored the smart aleck kid and did all the tests anyway. The kid's sister, the elementary school teacher, said, "You failed as an artist, but you're succeeding as a hypochondriac." Well, the doctor figured out he had some kind of fever that was treatable and he wasn't going to die at all. And the young man's self-deception came collapsing down on him. He was going to have to live. And all his arrogance and all of his ingratitude didn't change the fact that he was going to have to live, and he wasn't going to be able to live anymore under the illusion that he was this great artist. You know, it's easy to look at a young man like that and say, isn't that terrible? It's not so easy to look at ourselves and say, who is it that I should be respecting and that I'm not respecting? Who in my life have I allowed myself to become sarcastic with? Who in my life do I underappreciate? And who's uncomfortable around me because they sense that I'm just not civil to them? Church, everybody in this room has felt disdain, right? Everybody in this room has been in a situation where somebody filled you with the discomfort of letting you know that they think they're better than you are. And somehow or another, you just don't quite measure up to their grandeur. Haven't you? And nobody likes to be treated that way. Church? Especially in the church. If there's any place that we look at people and say, this person has God-given potential, how can I express appreciation for that? If there's any place that that happens, it has to be the church. You get that? In the church, we practice showing respect for everyone, because there's something respectable about every person that's here this morning. You get that? Everyone you see sitting here this morning, if you really knew them, you'd be shocked at how interesting their life really is. The difficult things they're trying, the things they are accomplishing silently in the world. You'd be surprised. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In these verses, I think Paul teaches us six ways to show respect to each other. The first one, live in harmony with one another. I'd like to translate that a little bit better with your permission. The word that's translated live in harmony literally means show thoughtful interest. What if I translate it that way? Show thoughtful interest in one another. We show respect when we're willing to think about the conditions and the interests of other people. When you look at the people around you, Are you capable of showing any interest in their life conditions? Let's do some specific examples. If you're old, are you able to show any interest in the thoughts and the conditions of young people? I have to say to myself and some of my friends once in a while, you know what? This is getting old. We're talking like a bunch of old guys. And frankly, I remember the old guys when I was a boy said, these baby boomers aren't going to amount to anything. Bunch of long-haired, dope-smoking people who don't want to work. Anybody remember? We were all losers. Because we were different from the old guys then. Well, now we're the old guys, and we're looking at the millennials and going, oh, millennials, yeah. Hey, it's not the young people, it's us. Every young generation, they get their run at it. And before we decide that they're all losers, maybe we should just take a minute and say, what does the world look like that we've left to them? Church? Maybe before we write off young people, we need to take just a deep breath and say, maybe they're different than us, because the people before us left us a different world than we're leaving them. And maybe, these kids would be better off if we found ways to try to understand what they're confronting than if we just automatically decide that they're incompetent. Church? Now, young people, yeah, we're old. My daughter sent me a picture from, 25 years ago. I'm a lean, mean fighting machine with solid dark hair, and my beard is still black. Well, I'm not that guy anymore. I remember him. I kind of envy him, but that was 25 hard years ago. Young people, before you decide that all old people are losers, you might take a moment and just consider what living in this world for 65 years does to somebody. Church? Let's talk about, are you willing to think about the conditions of people who are in a different economic class than you are? I want to just keep doing this with us until we get it. If you aren't well off, you just can't automatically say anybody who is well off cheated and that's how they got where they are. If you're well off, you can't look at somebody who isn't well off and say they're lazy. If they weren't lazy, they would be like me. And look, you don't know that, church. You don't know it. Here's something I do know. When I was a boy, every adult man I knew had a job. That was normal. But there are young men who grow up in a world where they don't know one adult man who has a job. And before I decide that they're all losers, I might take just a minute and try to consider what it's like to have to grow up in that world and what it does to a soul. Church, here's what I'm saying. instead of instantly judging somebody because of their economic class, what if we take a minute and say, what would my life be like if I had the challenges and the difficulties that these people have had? What about race? Are you sure that your opinions about race are true? Is it really fair? Is it really fair to assume that any person in any race somehow or another fits into a neat category that you've already created? Or is it possible, if we take just a minute and try to say, what is it like for them, we might be more willing to be respectful. And now the hardest one of all. These used to be the hard ones. Now the hardest one of all. Are you able to respect people who have a different political opinion than you do? Or is the whole world turning into talk cable news? Where if somebody disagrees with you, you have to shout them down. Church? Can you show respect for somebody who has a different political opinion than you? I'm not saying you have to agree with them. I'm just saying, can you show any respect? Or if they don't have your same political opinion, does that give you carte blanche to be insulting in any way you want because, they're one of those? Church, this may come as a shock to you. There are Democrats who love Christ, and there are Republicans who love Christ. You may be shocked. Some of you Republicans think all Democrats are Christ haters. You Democrats think all Republicans are Christ haters. And it's not true, church. And since when did the church decide who was acceptable based on something as fickle as politics? Can you hear me? I'm not saying you have to change your political opinion. I'm saying if you're going to be a good Christian and treat people the way God wants them to be treated, you have to be willing to show respect to people who have different political views than you do. Just because they didn't vote for who you voted for doesn't mean they're disreputable and don't deserve respect. And you won't give me one amen for that, will you? Church? We're the church. We are the church. And here's how we show respect to one another. If somebody's younger or older than us, instead of automatically writing them off, we say, I'm going to try to think about what is the concerns and interest of a person who's a different age than I am. A different economic class, a different race, and have different political views. In the church, we can learn to respect people who are different than we are. It is a healthy thing for the human soul. The second way we respect each other. Stop thinking you're too good to associate with people you consider to be less than yourself. That's the second phrase. Don't consider yourself too highly, but associate with the lowly. This is what Paul is saying. Be honest about your strengths and weaknesses. There are people that you may not like that may have a strength in their life that would be an incredible blessing to you. There are people who may be very, very different than you that might be an incredible blessing to you. I want to be honest about my strengths and weaknesses. We put that beautiful waterfall out there, and the company we bought it from, it didn't work. And here was my contribution. This isn't working. That was my contribution to fix it. But the guys from Simmons Brothers, they know how to fix stuff. And they came here and they picked it up and they took it back to the shop and they... And now it works. I respect people who can do that. They have a gift and a competency that I don't have. I couldn't even take in the darn thing apart if you want to know the truth. All right, can we look at each other and say, yes, this person is different than I am, but they have strengths I don't have. I'm going to make a contribution to them where I have a strength, but I'm not going to have disrespect for them and not be open to them making a contribution to me where they have a strength. I want to remind you that Christ was infinitely better than us in every way, and still he associated with us. I want to remind you, when we were dead in trespasses and sin, Christ came out and found us and made us alive together with him. Church. And then finally, I would like to ask, could we each ask ourselves, what makes me think I'm innately better than someone else? Are you going to judge because I perform better than they do in this way? Well, what happens where they perform better than you do? And nobody is perfect at everything. So if we say I'm better because I perform in life better, then what ends up happening is we condemn ourselves to disrespect because there's always somebody better than you at something. And so you're always not worthy of respect because there's someone better than you in that thing. Can you hear me, church? On the other hand, if we don't judge ourselves as I'm innately more valuable because I can do this better, if we just start looking at ourselves as human souls, if we just start looking at ourselves as human beings and saying, okay, my life condition right now is better than this person's. They're in a harder place than I am. They're struggling with things I'm not struggling with. But it doesn't mean I'm better than they are. And it doesn't mean that I can't show them respect in a meaningful way. Church, the third way we show respect, recognize your tendency to be self-focused. Do not show thoughtful interest in only your own things. All right, let's try this again. Are you able to see things from the perspective of others? Brother, are you trying to always to persuade your spouse? Or sometimes can you stop trying to persuade and just say, all right, now I'm going to try to figure out what this woman is really thinking and feeling. Look, I know it's hard. I have a wife and four daughters. I show them respect by sometimes not trying to persuade them, but just turning off that little salesman in my head and say, not, instead of persuading, I'm just going to try to understand what is the complexity that is going on here. Why does this make perfect sense to her and I'm baffled by it? Church, that's a way of showing respect. Now, ladies, let's be honest. You're pretty sure that you're right most of the time. Can there be times in your life that even if you're absolutely positive you're right, you can show respect by trying to understand what Mr. Neanderthal is not saying to you so well? Huh? I mean, simple things. Men are simple creatures. Let's have dessert. Right? Oh, but we're trying to lose weight. Yeah, I know we are, but dessert. Brothers, can we sometimes turn off the persuading machine and simply look at each other and say, I'm not going to try to persuade. I'm going to try to understand what is the core interest of my spouse. That's showing respect. If I'd have learned that a long time ago, I would have had a much happier marriage. All right, how about this one? Our kids. This is going to get me in trouble. Please don't send me an email. I promise you I'll be a good boy. Maybe our children learn respect from us. And maybe if I figured out how to be the kind of parent who guided my children and still showed them respect, they might learn how to show respect, right? I can correct my children in a respectful way, or I can correct my children in a tyrannical way. Huh? You say, Doc, you don't know my children. I raised five kids. I raised five children. Here's what I'm telling you. This is what I regret the most. There were times that I was too harsh and I could have accomplished more if I would have found a way to respect them and correct them in a respectful way. And if you agree with that, raising kids, say amen. All right. I'm not saying your kids are correct. Children have to be corrected, right? When my children did bad things, they had to be corrected. But I could learn, because I am a Christian, I could learn how to correct them in a respectful way, or I could permit myself to correct them in a demeaning way. Church? Don't scold children in this church. If you got to scold them in the car on the way home. I want them to love being at church. And if they're not your kids, leave them alone. Unless you be nice to them. Can you show respect to your coworker? Or do they only deserve disdain? How about in your life group? In your life group, is it permissible to disagree with the group? Or does groupthink control everything? Are you open to somebody in your group having a different opinion? Or if somebody has a different opinion, does the group pretty quickly start putting the pressure on and letting them know that, hey, we don't think that way in our group? Church? Four. We show respect. Respect is gracious. It returns better than it receives. Repay no one evil for evil. This is an important thing. Respect is gracious. It never returns evil for evil. What it does is it says, I'm going to treat you better than what you deserve. Can you hear me? When I show respect, I'm just acting out the principle of grace. And instead of saying, you haven't earned my respect in this one area, I say, because of grace, I show you respect. When I hear that song, I hear Bobby saying, I wish the best for you. May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. He's wishing the best. Something ugly happens when we build up resentments and angers and unforgiveness, and now we don't really want the best for other people. We look at them, and in our heart, we're really wishing that they develop a infectious ulcer on their heel that hurts them terribly every day. Because somehow or another, we've made up their mind that they deserve that. Church? Now, some of you need to look at your heart. You know you don't want what's best for someone else. You don't want it. Something has happened. Something has broken your heart. Something has disillusioned you. Something has twisted what is best in you. And if you admitted it, you would say, I don't want what's best for them. Now what I'm asking is, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you let the Holy Spirit change you. And you look at people, even the people who have hurt you, and say, in spite of everything that has transpired, I wish the best for you. You look at people who are very, very different from you. Their lifestyles are very different. They don't agree with you on things. But you don't judge them as worthy of condemnation. You find it in your heart to say, I wish the best for you. Church, there's something beautifully healthy about that. There's something so Christ-like about that. There's something noble about that. Can you hear it? 5, respect elevates the one who gives it as well as the one who receives it. Do you see something good happens in you when you're able to do this? The person who shows honor is as honorable as the person who is honored. And listen to what Paul says. Give thought to do what is honorable. It's actually the word that means to think before. Pre-plan to show honor. I've shared this with you before. I have a book that's called 1001 Romantic Ideas. Because there are some people who can write 1001 romantic ideas. And there's some of us who just can't do it. So I've got this book, so every once in a while I look at it. And then I pre-plan how to do what the book says. So this week I looked at it. I just happened to fall on the page that says, bring home flowers unexpectedly. So I said, man, that's a great idea. I'm going to do it. I went and got the flowers, got busy all day, got home. Forgot I had him and left him in the truck. And it wasn't until the next morning when I was having coffee with Sharon, I went, oh. Thank God they didn't spoil overnight. I brought him in. You know, it's remarkable the good things you can accomplish if you just pre-plan to do it. See, if I didn't pre-plan and it just had to pop into my head during the day, I'd have never done that. But I got this little book. Every once in a while, I look at it, and I try to do one of the little paragraphs that's in there. It's pre-planning. You pre-plan to do the good that you really want to do. What if we did that on showing honor? What if you said, this week I'm going to pre-plan how I can show honor to my spouse? This week I'm going to pre-plan on how I can show respect to one of my coworkers. This week I'm going to pre-plan on how I can be more civil to somebody I radically disagree with. And pro noeo, think about it before. Make a little plan. It'll happen much more often. Do you know we're honorable because Christ honors us? Do you get that? You are honorable because Christ honored you and gave himself for you. You're honorable because Christ claims you as his own. And trust me, we are all very, very different than he is. And Christ is worthy of honor and glory and praise and majesty both now and forever because he shared his honor with us and makes us more honorable. Six, respect creates a pathway to peace. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. You get the idea? The more you show respect to someone, the more peace there is. The more you show disrespect to them, the less peace there is. Do you want to have more peace at home? Show more respect at home. Respect is a pathway to peace. If you want to have more turmoil at home, keep showing disrespect at home, and you'll guarantee the place is always a boiling center. Church? Do we want to have more racial reconciliation in America? We have to show more peace. We have to show more respect. Respect is a pathway to peace. Do we want to have more peace in the church? We have to show more respect to each other. It is a pathway to peace. Church, it's a lot easier to get along with someone who respects you than somebody who is always denigrating you. And so Paul says, if you want to show respect, as much as it is possible, live peaceably. Show respect and peace will come. And so this morning we come down to two very different options. We can be Ashbury in Flannery O'Connor's story. We can be arrogant. We can create a little mythological world we live in that we are the suffering artist, that we're underappreciated by people and we're really very wonderful and that gives us the right to be disdainful. Or we can follow Bobby. We can look around at people and say, may you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light shining around you. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of changes shift. May you always be courageous, stand upright, and be strong. And God asks us to do the second. He says, here's how I want you to treat each other in the church. Show each other respect. Wish for the best for each other. It's going to create a church you will love to attend. And it's going to create a church where lost people find it easy to give Christ another chance in their life. And by the way, it works everywhere else in your life too. Our dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.